The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Follow with along as I read these several verses here in the Gospel of Matthew. The Bible says in verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we ask and pray that you'd bless this message this morning. Speak to our hearts through your word and by your Holy Spirit, that you would draw each of us closer to you. Help us to understand this portion of your word and make application to our lives. I pray if there be one here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd move in their heart, bring the reality of their lost condition, their lost estate, to their minds and to their heart, and that you'd bring conviction, and this would be the day they'd be gloriously saved, become a child of God. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, often this portion of Scripture is referred to as the Great Commission. The idea of going into the world and preaching the gospel to a lost and to a dying world. Someone said this, a great preacher of our time, his name is Clarence Sexton, he said this, "It's an amazing truth that the one thing that God has given us to do is often our single greatest failure." He said, "In most churches today, we work at just about everything but pursuing souls. The physical things that are around us in the church are the byproduct of the great works of soul winning. These things should never be the goal," meaning the physical things of the building. "They should only be the byproducts." Unfortunately, he said, so many churches have become caretakers of the byproducts. Churches are not busy with the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to go in the world and to preach the gospel. I want to give you four simple points out of these verses that I read. If you want to write them down, you can. If you want to just try to remember what I'm about to say. But here's the points. I want you to see in this text, number one, I want you to see God's mandate. God's mandate. Number two, I want you to see God's message. God's message. Number three, I want you to see God's means. And number four, I want you to see God's motivation from the text this morning. So number one is this, God's mandate. Well, look in verse 19. Here is the mandate with regards to missions. It is the word go. Will you just say that out loud for me this morning? Go. One more time. That was good. Go. Well, that's an easy word to understand. Go. That's the mandate. That's a mandate is an authoritative command. To go. It's an order. It's our marching orders to go, whether it's here in our community or whether it's around the world. Go. Go. Go, he said. Go. The word, I probably butcher the English language more than anybody, but from what I understand, the word go here is a present participle. So the idea is that you are to be going. It's not something that you've done. It's not something that you're going to do. It's something that you're always doing. Going, 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 going. And that's the mandate that God gave to the 11. And we'll see in just a few minutes, he not only gave it to the 11, but God gave it to you and I as well. Because you notice what it says in verse 19 as we read a little farther. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." They were to teach. They were to make disciples out of those in whom they spread the gospel to. And what does a disciple do? He's a follower of Christ. And so as he commanded the disciples to go, and he commanded the disciples to teach, that command is then extended to you and I. Down through the ages, believers have been commanded to go, and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make disciples. And you notice what it said in verse 19. It said, all nations. That's why we have missionaries that we support on every continent, with the exception of Antarctica and the Arctic Circle. There's nobody there to bring the gospel to. But all throughout the world, we have missionaries that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we as a church have a part in that. It's a great privilege. It's a great honor. And so important. All nations. We'll come back here in just a minute. Go to the Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 24. These are some of the last words that Jesus gave to the disciples after his resurrection and before he ascended up into heaven. Luke chapter number 24 and verses 47. Actually, we'll start in verse 45. So Jesus says to them, then he opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He had been sharing the word of God with them, and he says this, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now look what he says. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. It's just another example of the mandate that Christ gave to go. You'll find that mandate all through the Scriptures. In Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, in the book of Acts, in the book of Romans, the mandate to go and to preach the gospel. Aaron quoted out of Romans chapter number 10 in the Sunday school hour. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And so the responsibility is for people to go. I've often said that you and I, we are either goers or we are senders. Now you can do both, amen? Because as we witness here in our own community, we're going, but we're not all called to go throughout the world to preach the gospel. Our sister Brianna is felt compelled of the Lord to go to Mexico and to spend a couple of weeks in Mexico and to bring the gospel to the Mexican people. And many of the Mexican people are very open to the gospel. I've been to Mexico on missions trips. And so several years ago, my daughter Hannah was compelled to go to Papua New Guinea and to bring the gospel to the people in Papua New Guinea. And so some right out of our own church have gone to the mission field to preach the gospel. But not everybody's called to go to a mission field outside of their own community. But you can have a part by being involved in missions. Why do we do that? Because that's the mandate that Christ laid out for us in the Scriptures, to preach repentance and the remission of sins to all nations. Now, you can go back to Matthew chapter 28. But we also see this with regards to the mandate. So there was the authorization. He appointed them in verse 16. Look what it says there. Then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee, unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. It was an appointing. They were assigned to go. The Bible tells us that tradition tells us that Thomas went into India and he preached the gospel in India. And all of the apostles, they were sent to specific places. Paul, of course, was going to Asia, and then he was the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart, and he ended up going into Europe to preach the gospel, and the European continent, and into Spain and those countries to preach the gospel. They were assigned to go. A brother that I thought was going to be here today felt compelled of the Lord to go to Bolivia. And he actually went to, is ministering in Bolivia. and appointed by God to bring the gospel to the Bolivian people who are deaf. And so he had to learn Bolivian sign language. You may think that sign language is an international language, but it's not. Every nation has its own sign language. For instance, we have a missionary in the Dominican Republic, and he also is bringing the gospel in Santo Domingo to the deaf people in the Dominican Republic. He had to learn their sign language. Why? Because he felt a sign of the Lord to go. They're ambassadors, just like you and I are called to be ambassadors for Christ. Peggy went to her neighbor the other day. She was going as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. When you go to whomever you share the gospel with, you are going as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, just as the 11 were appointed here to go and to teach all nations. But secondly, under the mandate, not only is the authorization, but it's the authority that they go in. Look again at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word power there, it means authority. It means not only authority, but it means justification, that they can go under the authority, or jurisdiction, I should say, to go and to preach the gospel. But when Jesus said that, it speaks more of him just telling them to go. It speaks of his deity. It speaks of the authority of Christ. Because Christ has the authority, he can appoint you and me with the authority to go and to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. It's all part of the mandate that's laid out. I don't have time to turn there, but if you were to go just through the Gospel of Matthew, you would see that word authority. He had authority to teach. He had authority to heal. He had authority and power to forgive sin. He had authority and power to deliver people from unclean spirits. Why? Because he's the Son of God. Because he's Christ. He is Jesus Christ. And he gives you and I the power and the mandate to go and to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and to a dying world. But secondly, it's the message. And so again, he says this in our text. Teach all nations. Teach them to observe all things. So two things under God's message. So we've seen the mandate, but what's the message? Really, the message is twofold. We bring the message of His saving grace, and we bring the message of His living grace. And what I mean by that is this. We're saved by grace, amen? We're saved by grace, amen? Amen. So we're not saved by works. Aaron was speaking of this in his Sunday school lesson this morning. In fact, he was in 2 Corinthians, I believe it was, in chapter number 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the Bible says this. Paul said this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which you are saved, he said. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. We saw that in Sunday school. Paul was a Pharisee, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a religious man, but a lost man. And then he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He received it. And he went on to say this, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and how that He was buried, and that how He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's how people are saved. They hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hear that Jesus died for that they're sinners. They hear that Jesus died for their sins, that Jesus was buried, that Jesus rose again, and they put their faith and trust in the complete and the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what our missionaries do. All of the missionaries that we support, that's what they do. Whether it's Bob DeWitt going to Burma, whether it's our missionaries in South America. I was speaking with Brother Trask the other day, and actually I was writing out our missions checks and looking at some of our missionaries were through the Baptist Bible Fellowship, and all of a sudden I noticed on the form that Brother Trask's name wasn't there. And so I contacted him about that. And somehow the missions office, I didn't even realize that it went for several months, the missions office deleted his name from our giving statement, and so he didn't receive our support for like 4 or 5 months. I really felt bad for him. Brother Trask has been one of the most, he's one of our first missionaries in Brazil. He has literally started dozens of churches in Brazil, one of the most hardworking missionaries. So I contacted him, and he wondered about it, and I said, Brother Trask, why didn't you call me and ask? And yeah, I thought about it. You know, we just were very friendly. And but he's been there in Brazil all these years, just starting dozens and dozens of churches, and literally thousands of Brazilians. He's brought the gospel to them, and they've come to know Christ as their Savior. I said, I can't speak for you, but it is a tremendous privilege for me to put my money in a missions, in an offering plate every week, and to know that Brother Trask, the Trask for the task, are preaching the gospel. And this morning they preached the gospel, and I've had a small part in them getting to the mission field and staying on the mission field, and the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. Wow! What a privilege that is. What an honor that God gives me to do that. But that's the message. It doesn't matter which one. So if one of our missionaries stops preaching the gospel, and for one reason or another, we don't support them any longer. So primarily, we don't send our missionaries to go to the mission field to feed people. Although some of them do, and I'm not against that. You understand that. Some of them go to the mission field and they bring medical supplies and do that. And some of them do. Some of them start medical clinics. Our missionaries in Papua New Guinea, the Allens, have a medical clinic. But that's not why we sent them there. And we could go one right after the other. We sent them there to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why they're there. The medical aspect of it is a byproduct. It's a way to draw people so they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The feeding of people is a byproduct. The clothing of people is a byproduct to draw people there so that they can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving message of Jesus. But then once people get saved, then they need to learn how to be disciples. And that's what I mean by the living grace of God. My grace, Paul said there in the book of 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for thee. How do you think John Lafreniere is going to deal with and get through what he's getting through? It's the grace of God. How does someone like Peggy deal with losing 3 children in 3 years? And as has often been said, it's just so unnatural, isn't it, when a child goes to be with the Lord before a parent. It's just not natural. You don't expect that. But it happens. And some of you have experienced that. How do you get through that? How do you get through that? I remember having to go tell my mom that my oldest brother had taken his life. How do you deal with that as a parent? It's the grace of God. And so what a wonderful thing it is to know that people, now they get saved, and now they're on their way to heaven. But it's better than that. Because right here and now, as we experience this life in a sinful, wicked, fallen world, if we will avail ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God, His grace is sufficient. It gets us through all of life. And I don't care whether you're in South America, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in Central America, whether you're in Asia, whether you're in wherever, in Australia. People are people, and people have problems. And the answer to everyone's problem, not only eternally, but every day, is Jesus Christ. Amen? It's Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's the answer for you and I to deal with all that we have to deal with. That's the message that we bring. His grace, it enables us. His grace, it empowers us to live for Him. Paul said this, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So that's the message that we bring. But then the means. The means. What are the means by which all this takes place? Well, look at the text. Look at the text again. So the Bible says this. Teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. You're the means. I'm the means. We're the means that God uses to bring the gospel to people. Listen, somebody brought the gospel to you. They either gave you a gospel tract, they either witnessed to you, they gave you a Bible, they invited you to church. Somebody witnessed to you. God uses people to reach people. We are the means. Jesus said this in John chapter 20. Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And that hasn't changed in 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, people have been going into the world and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're in New England is a very special area because really the American missionary movement really sprung from New England. Just go over to Williams College. Go to Missions Boulevard. I think it's Missions Boulevard, Missions Road, Missions Lane at Williams College. The Haystack Memorial is set up there. It's a memorial to five Williams College students in the early 1800s, which were meeting out in a hayfield, having a prayer meeting, when a thunderstorm blew in, and they took refuge in a haystack, in a pile of hay, out of the rain. They were praying at that time about missions and reaching the world for missions. The monument's still there. There's a portion of ground that was dedicated to remember that. Because they understood, not all of them went to the mission field. But they had missions in their heart. And they understood that God was calling them as people to bring the gospel to people. The Bible, take your Bible, I should show you one quick example. Matthew chapter 4, how it all began. The pattern's always in the Bible. We always see, well, how do we do this? Just look to the Bible. God always gives us the answer from the Bible. Well, look what it says in Matthew chapter 4, and in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18. The Bible says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So they were doing something. They were fishermen. They were busy. They had a craft in life. They had an occupation. This is what they did. And by the way, God generally calls people who are doing something to do something else. People sometimes, there's an old saying about missions in churches, if you're not going to do it here, you're not going to do it there. Meaning, if God's not going to call you to go to the mission field to preach the gospel, if you're not preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel with people right in your own community. And that makes a lot of sense. But God uses busy people. And I read this years ago. There was a quote by the comedian Lucille Ball. And she said this, if you want to get something done, she said, find the person, the busiest person you know, and ask them to do it. Because those people get things done. And you would think, well, I'm not going to ask them to get it done. They're too busy. No, busy people get things done because they're busy people. They get things done. And so often missionaries that are called, they go to the field. Let me tell you, most missionaries, they are very hard-working people on the mission field. But these men were fishing. And God said to them, God called them, God appointed them. He said to them, listen, he said, follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they followed. Because God uses people. That's God's means. And for 3 years, they walked with Jesus. And Jesus taught them and trained them and discipled them and prepared for them to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, lo, back there in the gospel of, or in Matthew chapter 28, lo, I am with you always. He goes with us. Amen? He's always going with us. And He's there by our side. I like this. I was listening to a gospel song the other day, and I forget how it all went, but basically the gospel song said something like this: Jesus is the greatest friend I ever had. When I thought about that, that's true. He's the greatest friend I ever had. He's promised never to leave me. He's promised never to forsake me, that He would be with me always, even until the end of the world. That's the greatest friend you can have. You never have to worry about Jesus deserting you. You never have to worry about Him leaving you. He's there, and He said that to the disciples. And He says that to you and I, because He's commanded us to go. As you head back to Matthew chapter 28, turn to Matthew chapter number 9. Look what the gospel says here. In Matthew chapter 9, the very end of it, verse 36, the Bible says, but when Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Let me just stop there. Did you ever look at the world today and just look at people? You ever have compassion and you ever think, oh, I wonder if they know Christ as their Savior. I wonder where they're going to spend eternity. I wonder if they know the truth. Because the world is no different today than 2,000 years ago. They're all scattered. They're like sheep with no shepherd. And Jesus went on to say, then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. You know, our newest missionary that we just took on, that our missionary to Hungary, Brother Mann, and Jason Mann, he came here like 3 years ago, and he presented his work. And we didn't take him on for support. And God apparently called him to go to Hungary to preach the gospel. And he's just been there a year, and they just were able to, this is really incredible, in a year's time, to be able to purchase a building which was a bar and convert the bar into a building where they can hold church services. Wow. But for 3 years, he would send his missions letters. And for 3 years, I'd get them. And you ask my son, he'll tell you. For all this time, I kept saying, you know, Ethan, I think we should really take on the Manns. God keeps burdening me, and keeps burdening me, and keeps burdening me to take on the Manns. And so we did this year. Because he's there to preach the gospel. Hungary's a tough place to preach the gospel. Most people in Hungary, they're not hungry, if you'll excuse the pun, for the Word of God. But there are people that get saved. And you win them one by one by one by one. New England isn't exactly the hotbed of evangelism, but you're here, amen? And you got saved, amen? So you think you're the only ones? No, there's other people out there that need to get saved. And so whether it's here in New England or whether it's in Hungary, people are still hungry for the Word of God. Don't ever forget that. So you're the means. Are you part of that? Are you having a part of that? Are you? Listen, I've been preaching. God's blessings are found within God's boundaries. Well, one of the boundaries of God is to take part of what God has given us and reach the world for Christ. And the blessings of God are found in that. Listen, when you get to heaven one day, you talk about blessings. If you've been involved in missions giving, you take a portion of what God has given you and you help support missionaries, I tell you, when you get to heaven, there'll be people from Brazil. There'll be people from Argentina, where we have missionaries. There'll be people from the Philippines. There'll be people from wherever we have been supporting missionaries that God will allow us to know that we had a small part in winning them to Christ. But I'd hate to get to heaven and arrive on the shores of heaven and realize I've done nothing in this life to reach people with the gospel. Well, I hope that's not you. Because someday we do have to stand and give an account for who we are as believers. There is the judgment seat of Christ. We have to give an account. What part are you having in that? Or are you just content to enjoy the salvation that you have personally without sharing it? Remember the story in the Old Testament, and four lepers were outside of the gates of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was being, I think, by the Assyrians. They were under siege, and so God delivered the Israelites from that siege, and they didn't even realize it. And the four lepers went into the Assyrian camp, and I believe that's the account which the angel of God came and killed the Assyrians. But there was all kinds of food. The Israelites in Jerusalem were starving to death because the Assyrians were not allowing the food in, not letting people out. They were starving them to death. Well, the lepers go into the camp of the enemy, and there's food, and there's clothes, and there's this, and there's that. And there they are. And they say, you know what? We need to go back and tell everybody about this. Because God's taken care of us. God's protected us, and God's provided for us. And so that's what they did. They went back, and they told the Israelites that. Well, it's an illustration. There's an illustration there. That's what you and I are. Listen, we are just lepers that needed to be saved. Leprosy in the Bible is a sign of sin. We are sinners on our way to hell. We are lepers, unclean. And Jesus came, and the touch of the Master came on our lives, and He healed us of our leprosy. And now how what are we going to do at the end of our life when we look back and we think, I've not tried to reach one person for Jesus Christ? Oh, God forbid that that's the case. Listen, the Bible says that there's joy in the presence of the angels of heaven when one sinner repents. So, listen, that's part of what missions is about, to reach the world for Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel, and all over the world, people are getting saved. I remember Pastor Ainsworth used to use this example. He would say, just like at one time, the sun never set on the British Empire, meaning the British at one time, they were so powerful, all throughout the world, the British flag flew on all the different continents of the world. Well, what a blessing it is. He used to say this, and when we're as a church involved in ministry or in missions work, the sun never sets on the ministry of Mount Greylock Baptist Church if you're involved in missions all over the world. But God calls you and God calls me to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. He's given us the mandate. He's given us the message. And He's given us the means. The means are you and the means are me. God forbid that we don't fulfill those means. And then lastly, it's the motivation. If you're not back, there goes. We turn back to Matthew 28 and we're done. What's the motivation? Well, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, He said, I am with you always. Here's the motivation, ladies and gentlemen. Even unto the end of the world. The little phrase, the word, their world is the age. It means the age in which we live. Listen, this world is the time that this world has left is winding down. Time is running out. Time is coming to an end. The sands in the time, what do you call those things? The hourglass, all right? They are coming to an end. People are lost. People are dying. And Jesus is coming again. And you and I, we have a responsibility to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as we can. We can't make them receive it. But we can sure give it. And it's up to them and the Holy Spirit of God to bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. But time is coming to an end. And at the end of the world, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Oh, with great joy that we could say with Peggy that the three of her daughters have stepped from this life and they've gone into the presence of Jesus Christ. But that's because somebody brought the gospel to them. That's because they heard they were sinners. That's because they heard that unless they receive Christ, they were going to spend an eternity in a place called hell. And I want to tell you, your co-workers, your fellow students, some of your family members, they're lost, they're dying, they're going to hell. And we have the message, whether it's here or whether it's there. The question is, ladies and gentlemen, what part are you going to have in it? What part have you had in it? Is it so? Are you so tight-gripped on your finances that you can't find a portion of your finances to send to Europe, to Asia, to South America, to Central America? What good will it be? I finished with this illustration. I've used it before. And if you've never seen the film, I'm not big on promoting films, but if you've never seen the film Schindler's List, I encourage you to watch the film. It is about the Holocaust of the Jews in World War II. At the end of the film is a very moving scene. Arthur Schindler drives up. The war has come to an end. He's come to one of the factories in which he used to save Jews, give them jobs so they wouldn't go to the gas chamber. He drives up in his very, very fancy car. He and I think it was his girlfriend, maybe it was his wife, I forget. But he looks at the people who he He used to save them from the gas chambers. He looks at them, and he looks at his car, and he all but bankrupted himself to do this. He died a very poor man at the end. He looks at his car, and the scene kind of goes something like this. You know, I could have sold the car and used the money to save more Jews. See, at the end of the life, all that we have, and listen, you know, I've said it before, I'm not against you having nice things and enjoying life and the things that God, that hard work brings. But if at the end of your life, ladies and gentlemen, you've taken nothing of that, and you've just kind of, you're like the man that Jesus said he had barns and he decided to build bigger barns. You've never taken a little bit of that. This is going to be strong, but shame on you. If you're saved, shame, shame, shame on you. People are lost and dying and going to hell. Shame, shame, shame. That's the mandate that God gave. That's the message. That's the method that He's given and the motivation. The world's coming to an end. Time is running out. People need to be saved. 2 weeks she had to live. Is that what you said? 2 weeks. Maybe she'll live another week, but it's short. The time is short. She needed to hear the gospel. Frank, where's Brother Frank? Frank's brother in the hospital, just with weeks to go, dying of cancer, I believe it was, received Christ as his Savior. Better to receive it at the end than not to receive it at all. Amen? And so that's the message that God's given us. We've got to be involved. We've got to be part of that. And it's so easy to take our eyes off of what the purpose of us being here is. So I challenge you this morning. It's easy for me to preach about missions. It really is. I love missionaries. I love missions. I love giving. I love... Listen, one of the reasons I work a part-time job is so I have money, more money to give to missions. It's one of the reasons I do that. I have a set amount that I give. It enables me to do that. And I'm done. I hope you're involved. I'm passionate about missions. I really am. One of the reasons I'm passionate about missions, I finished with this. I already said I finished before. I'm a Baptist. I'm circling the airport. Somebody sent a man to this town 30 years ago to start this church. There were people, I've said this, I have a list in my office. I have a list of churches that helped this church get established. They sent missions money to get this church established. I accepted Christ through this ministry. My wife accepted Christ through this ministry. My son, my daughters accepted Christ through this ministry. Some of your sons and daughters, grandchildren, have accepted Christ through this ministry. What part are we going to have for other people to accept Christ? Let's pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. If you're here this morning and you, first of all, if you've never received Christ, the gospel is what you need to receive, that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And if you've already received Christ, just take a minute and thank Him. Because listen, ladies and gentlemen, you are on your way to hell. But Jesus saved you. But if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to get saved. You need to be involved. If you're not saved, you have to understand you're a sinner. You have to believe Jesus died for your sin. And you call upon Him to be your Savior. My hope and trust is that the Holy Spirit has brought that conviction to your heart. So if you're here and you say, "Preacher, I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior. I want to do that this morning." Would you just slip up your hand and put it down real quick? I've never done that. Thank you. I see that hand. I've never really done that, but I want to do it this morning. I want to be sure. Then, Christian, the challenge, I gave you the challenge this morning. I'm not going to re-preach it. You heard what I had to say. On the authority of what God's Word says. That's why I preach that. What part do you have? What part do you have? You have to trust God by faith sometimes. It's a step of faith. God has given us things. God has given us resources. Take some of those resources and by faith use them to further His kingdom. What part do you have? Father, I ask that you bless the message this morning. Thank you for the fact that you've allowed us as a church all of these years to be missions-minded, to support missionaries, to give, be involved. Thank you for the generosity of so many of the members of this church, the sacrificial giving of so many of the members of this church so that we could support 40 missionaries. Thank you for the vision you've given us as a church of believers. And I just pray, Lord, that for those that haven't yet received that vision, they haven't seen that, that, oh, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've revealed that to them. They'd see the need. And they would be compelled to give out of love and by your grace. Our heads are still bowed, our eyes are closed. Listen, we're going to sing an invitation in just a minute. If you raised your hand, I saw one raise their hand that they weren't sure that they were saved. As we begin to sing, I'm going to have you step out and come and meet me here. And if you're a fellow, one of the fellows, they'll pray with you. They'll answer any questions that you have. One of our ladies will do it if you're a gal. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, if you have questions about that, we want you to speak with someone afterwards. It's the most important decision any person can make in their life. It really is. Because all of eternity hangs in the balance. Let's stand. Ethan's going to lead us in hymn number 496 in our hymnals as we stand. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, if you raised your hand, step out and come and meet me as we begin to sing. If there's any other need on your heart, why don't you go to the altar and spend some time with the Lord in prayer this morning. Whatever it is you're dealing with, whether it's at the privacy of your seat or at the altar, you can do that. But if you're here and you say, I'm not sure, preacher, I'm saved, you come and get saved as we sing.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.